you brood of vipers. Like, you absolutely horrid, despicable, self-righteous, self-centered, egotistical expressions of humanity. Good morning. My name is Reverend Bob, and you've selected me to be your new minister. What a text to give somebody on their first Sunday. I mean, that's the way it starts out. Like, can you imagine how folks heard that, much as you heard it? Because I know some of you were like, oh, what's he doing? This is weird, and it's going to get kind of awkward really fast. My hunch is that if you were part of the original hearers of John the Baptist, there was about 50% that were looking at the ground, and they were like, there's the perfect rock for me to stone him with later. And the other 50% were going, yeah, he's not talking about me. He's talking about those other people. And so let's see where this goes. Because if it turns and it is about me, then I might also be looking for a rock so I could stone him later. And that's kind of what John the Baptist does. He talks about this repentance, this baptism for the repentance of sins. And after 2,000 years of Christian witness, I think we kind of have a whole lot of stuff kind of piled up on top of that notion of what repentance means. And we often think it means that we need to say we're sorry, right? Like, we need to take ownership of the wrongs that we have committed. Sin being those things that we do that fractures relationships between us and others and the holy and the divine. That somehow that's what John the Baptist is talking about. You need to come out, get baptized in the Jordan, and own your stuff. Own the stuff that you've done that have hurt other people and yourself and creation and your relationship with God, with Yahweh. But if you go back and you look at the original text in its Greek form, what's used here is a word called metanoia. And what metanoia means is not just kind of saying you're sorry or owning your mistakes or the things that you have done wrong, but change. It's a baptism of change. And not just like, you know, I'm going to cut back on the amount of sugar I put in my coffee in the morning. I'm going to cut back to 2 tablespoons instead of 3. If you're wondering, I don't pollute my coffee at all. I'm a purist when it comes to coffee, black and strong, right? But it's not like those kinds of little changes. It's not like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to walk an extra 5 minutes because I really should for my health. It's not that kind of stuff. Metanoia is this whole body change. It's a complete reorientation of yourself. And there's no way you can do that without there being some change. The two go hand in hand. You can't repent and say, I acknowledge and own the fact that I've done all this stuff, but I'm going to continue to live my life exactly the same way. That's like half of the equation. The other half is the action that is supposed to inspire, which is the change, that whole body manifestation of making room for the Spirit to work in us and through us, and you will hear me often say, even in spite of us. Because that is what it means to walk in the way of Jesus in the world. And so John the Baptist lays out this three kinds of change, this kind of personal change, this interpersonal change, and this intersectional change, this way that we behave and engage the world around us to change. And if you're anything like me, that's not easy. Because it means coming face to face with some of our privilege. It means coming face to face with all those things that we know aren't perfect. It means letting go of power and authority and a belief that whatever I think is right really is right. It means letting go of some really, really comfortable church phrases. We've never done it that way before. so comfy. Yeah, it needs to change. We don't do it that way here. The cousin of the other one, very comfortable, solves a plethora of things we don't like. Needs to change. But then there's other pieces about the way we look at our neighbors, the way we assume that there is actually a scarcity of resources in the world when nothing could be further from the truth. It's one of the myths that we love to tell ourselves in this developed world, that somehow there's a scarcity. When the reality of it is we don't have a scarcity problem, we have a distribution problem. And somehow those of us who seek to walk in the way of Jesus are called to change how we perceive and engage the world. We need to change who we see as in and who we see as out, who we see as belonging and who we see as not. We need to change how it's okay for some world leaders to talk about countries and people as being garbage and worthless. That's not okay. And it's definitely not okay for the Christian church to in any way, shape, or form condone that kind of thinking. That's not what the Baptist was talking about. You brood of vipers. You're called to change, to be fundamentally different, to bear fruit. And here's the thing, you and I, each and every one of us, regardless of our age or how long we've been here or where else we've been or where we grew up or where we live now, the reality of it is that each and every one of us has been made to bear fruit. And not just any fruit, good fruit. That's who we are as those created in the image of the divine. That's who we are as followers of Jesus. That's who we are as disciples. That's who we are as people who seek to live out our faith in the world, embodying this change that is within ourselves, within our hearts and our minds and our bodies out there. When we go to be the church. Because this ain't church. Right? This is worship. It's great. Choir sounds fabulous. Y'all sound great. But this is worship. And we're called to be the church. And the church does more than worship. And that's where we get into some trouble with John the Baptist a little later on when he starts talking about threshing floors and wheat and chaff and burning stuff up and all that kind of stuff. And somehow we think that that's a reference to people. That there are good people and bad people. And really what Paul is saying is we're going to separate out the good people from the bad people. And that's some really easy kind of theology. But I don't think that's what the Baptist was trying to get through to us. See, because for God, the goal is a yield that is 100%. Not good and bad. Not like 80% and, you know, like farmers get like really excited. Like, oh, you know, we had like a 73% yield. Woohoo! Like, no, that's not the bar. The bar for the holy is 100%. But in order to get 100%, there's some chaff, there's some barriers that exist in the way of being in the world that we need to get rid of so the Spirit can work in us and through us. That's the chaff that needs to get burned away. That's the stuff that we need to take ownership of and then change so that the same barriers don't exist, so that we can find a different way of being in the world. So the Baptist starts out by laying it down, right? You brood of vipers. And I often wonder if part of the rest of the crowd wasn't thinking, okay, challenge accepted. Now let's see if you can back it up. And I think that's the same challenge for us today. To back it up. To prove that We can change, and we can do the things right here and right now that helps bring about that kingdom of peace realized in community, where folks who, in all reality, have very little in common other than this thing called worship and this belief in this person called Jesus and the power of his presence in our lives, who might otherwise have nothing to do with each other Monday through Saturday, but here in God's community, maybe, just maybe, we can figure out what peace might look like. And we might share that good fruit that we've been called to bear with one another and with the world. May it be so. Megwetch. Amen.